so he will honor your prayer if your prayer is wrapped up in focusing on him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added up to him. And I'm 70 years old, and I've proven that in my lifetime. Amen? Amen. Brother Malik, a young man like Samuel, who's serving, and like Christian, come forward and read the scriptures for us today, and then we'll have a message by Brother Jeremy Calix.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 20. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen.
What the Lord has laid on your heart.
Good afternoon, everyone. I almost said good morning, but realize that morning is gone. Well, it's a few days before Christmas. I think the next time we see each other is going to be after Christmas. So let me wish you a Merry Christmas. I hope you have an enjoyable one. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this season of Christmas. We thank you for the one who brought about Christmas by his birth, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, while so many are focusing on things surrounding Christmas, not enough people are focusing on the Christ of Christmas. And so we pray that those of us who are here, centered in your word, Lord, that you will remind us of Jesus Christ and his coming, what it means to each and every one of us, how he came because of us, how he came to profit us, how he came to give us life, life in abundance, and to die in our stead on the cross of Calvary. Lord, may this be a reminder of our need to draw closer to him, that reading this, the reading of this passage today, O God, and the expositions from it will encourage your heart to draw nigh to thee. If there's anyone in our midst who is yet to surrender his or her life to your Son, Jesus Christ, may the meditation, O God, from your word strongly encourage them to do so. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. An interesting passage, Luke chapter 2. At Christmas time, Luke chapter 2 is one of the passages that we read regarding the birth of Jesus. And one of the things that you may have already observed, and I don't know what you're going to make of it, is that there's not a whole lot written about the birth of Jesus Christ. Mark says nothing about his birth. John says nothing about his birth. Matthew gives us some facts surrounding his birth. But it's only Luke who gives us the kind of detail that we have surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. One thing all the Gospels have in common is this: detailed information concerning the death of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what you make of it, but I think that's significant. Why did Christ come? He came to die. And it's because his death is so important to us. I believe the Bible emphasizes so much more his death than his birth. Of course, it's a fact. If he didn't come, if he wasn't born, how then could he die? So Christ had to come. But his coming was for to die. And we must remember that. Again, when you read the Gospels and you're looking for passages concerning his birth, you'll realize there's not a whole lot said about it. Now, it doesn't mean that his birth is not important at all. It doesn't mean that. But it just seems to be saying to us loud and clear, it's more about his death that matters to God. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And to give his life a ransom for many. I find that interesting. But again, it doesn't mean that we should not take the birth of Christ seriously. A very good friend of mine, one I consider to be my mentor as a Christian growing up, still a good friend of mine, he was saved at Christmas time. And he is a very, very, very serious child of God. Really. It was Christmas, the story of Christmas, that brought him to his knees and confessed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is my hope that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you too can come to know him today. So an angel of the Lord, as he's described, appeared unto a group of shepherds. Shepherds. Why would God send a representative of his to appear to a group of shepherds? Shepherds were not people who were highly recognized during their time. They were part of the low class. They were the kind of people you didn't give a second look to. Was it a wasted opportunity by God? Why couldn't he use the religious leaders of the day to have the angel appear to them to give them this news? God in his wisdom thought that his angel should appear to shepherds, these low-class people. Lost opportunity? Oh no, oh no. From the word of God, we can witness over and over again that that is exactly the way God operates. God takes the lowly, those who are least recognized, people like the poor and fishermen, those who were so Jesus associated himself with, to show that he is God. God can take nothing, as he usually does, and make something out of it. If you're feeling like you are not recognized, if you're feeling like you're one of those people, nobody cares about you, I've got good news for you, my friend. There is one who cares. God. Christ did not come to die for the rich. Christ did not give preference to the rich. Indeed, he was more associated with people who were down and out. People who had very little. Like I said before, people like those fishermen. Men smelling fishy. Who others didn't want to get close to. Jesus got close to them. Jesus came here. And he associated with those who were despised. So instead of going to the rich and the prominent, the angel of the Lord went to a group of shepherds who were looking at their sheep. And it's just like the way God operates. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 tells us, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." That no flesh should glory in his presence. Yes, God takes the despised. God takes the lowly. God takes the weak. And God uses them. If you think you're despised and you think you're weak and so God has no use for you, I'm here to tell you that you are exactly the kind of person God wants to work with. Because through you, he can establish the fact in the minds of those who don't understand him that he is God. He is God. You're not too weak for God. You're not too despised for God to use you. That is exactly the way God operates. Who are the parents of Jesus? It was a carpenter, his father. Of course, we know that he was not his biological father. His mother, Mary, a simple young woman. They weren't the children of kings and queens. They weren't the children of aristocrats. They were simple people. And those are the people God chose to be used. To use the simple people. I want us to look a little bit at the message that the angels brought. And in particular, their regard to this young child that was born, even Jesus Christ. Notice that they did not refer to him as baby Jesus. They refer to Jesus Christ, first of all, a Savior. Secondly, they refer to him as Christ. And then, of course, they refer to him as the Lord. The Lord. Interesting names for a little baby. It reminds me of the wise men who, when they entered Jerusalem, asked, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Jesus Christ was born King. Jesus Christ was born Savior. He was born Christ. He was born the Lord. He did not become Savior, the first name referred to by the shepherds. And a Savior, he was a deliverer. He was one who would protect. He was one who would heal, to preserve, to do well. Savior, deliverer. Christ came to deliver us. Who could not deliver ourselves? Savior. John chapter 4 and verse 39, regarding the story of this woman Jesus met. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified." You remember that Samaritan woman that Jesus encountered? And hear what they said. Well, let me just read it. You'll get the sense of what I'm saying. "And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all things ever I did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" When they heard him, they had little doubt in their mind. They said, "Yes, what you testified about was true, but we believe that he is Savior because we have heard him. We have heard him." Have you heard Jesus Christ? Do you pay attention to his word? What is your regard for Jesus? Jesus Christ is being described not by ordinary men. This was an angel who came from God. This was a representative of heaven. And he referred to Jesus as Savior. There are many men with little regard for Jesus. I don't know, my brothers and sisters, but I would rather listen to an angel from heaven rather than so many of these brilliant men who think to know more about Jesus Christ than the very angels who exist in the presence of God. Savior! The next name they refer to him as is Christ. Christ. The anointed one. That's what it means. Messiah. Luke chapter 4, reading from verses 17 through 21. It reads, it says, "And there was delivered unto him," here Jesus Christ at this particular time, at the beginning of his ministry, was in the synagogue. And here Luke tells us, "There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And then it says, he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Can you imagine? I would have loved to be there. I would love to see a video of that occasion when Jesus Christ was in the midst of them in the synagogue. And he took the book of Isaiah and he told them, "This that you read about is fulfilled today." He was making it very clear that he was the one whom God had promised. "I am here with you today." From that day onward, you would either love him or hate him. You would either embrace him or forever push him away, because it was the very truth. No wonder did Jesus describe himself as truth. And incidentally, it's exactly what happens with people when they are confronted with the Word of God. When they hear the Word of God, they either embrace it, or the next time you invite them to church, they make all kinds of excuses. They don't come again. You don't see them. There's some people like that. Christ himself said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled. I am the anointed one. I am the one whom God has sent to heal brokenhearted people, to set free those who are imprisoned spiritually." Oh, this morning, is there someone who feel imprisoned? You feel chained. You can't move right. You can't move left. Like nothing is going in your favor. Christ came to deliver you. Christ himself declared that "I am that person God has sent to deliver you." I said I would love to see a video of that occasion. That might just happen, you know. That might just happen. Maybe one day we'll get to heaven and God will show us some of the things of the past. Don't put it past God. If we know how to videotape things that happen and we can show it many years down the road, trust me, God can do much, much more. We may just one day in glory, God will say when we're in his presence, "You remember that particular scripture? Let me show you the occasion." God will just put it on, we'll see it, and we'll be aghast. If man can do it, you bet God can do it too. You bet. There was a third name that the angels referred to Jesus as, and that name was the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. The angel of God called him the Lord, and that meant master. One who is supreme, one who has supreme authority, one who has the power of deciding, one who has ownership and sovereignty, one who is chief. This is how we refer to this little child called Jesus. Supreme authority, Lord. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence." Lord. Incidentally, that's where John begins his gospel. John doesn't go about telling us about his birth. The Spirit of God did not impress him to write about his birth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John says, let me get to the point. Exactly what this verse is telling us in Colossians, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ has supreme authority. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that he upholds the world by the power of his word. Of course, the question is, what is he to you? You can hear all the beautiful names that the angel described Jesus as: Christ, Savior, and Lord. The fundamental question, the critical question is, how do you describe him? What is he to you? Who do you believe that he is? See, that makes all the difference in the world. The reason why the shepherds after they heard the angel ran down to see Mary and this baby, it was because they were so impressed with Jesus and what the angel had said about him. What is he to you? Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Savior, the Lord? Well, if you believe, you'll do something about it, because that's exactly what the shepherds did. You can't hear the word of God and tell me that you believe it, and then you go back to your routine. You just be the same person you ever was. No. If you believe that Jesus is all that God says he is, then that ought to affect your life. You ought to do something about it. You can't go back to being just like you in the past. This is a tremendous revelation by God. Can you imagine? God shows you something that is so precious, and you just ignore it and walk away. Thank you, Lord, for that information. And you're gone, forgetting all that you've just heard about Jesus. That's exactly what the shepherds did. They went to find Jesus. They went to find that person they were told about. And what the Bible tells us, of course, I think it's verse 16. It says, and they came, what's the next two words? With haste. With haste. They came with haste. This message of this person was of such that they could not sit idly by. They could not continue business as usual. They were there to watch their sheep. And all of a sudden, the sheep was not that important anymore. That's exactly what happens to us when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that we held so precious, the things that meant so much to us, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it puts everything into perspective. It makes what's really important, important unto us. And the things that doesn't matter that much, it goes by the wayside. Not that it's not important, but they learn to classify things in their order of importance. They were up late at night losing sleep just to make sure no harm came to their sheep. Their very livelihood depended on the sheep. But because they heard this good news now about Jesus Christ, their sheep became secondary. Secondary. When you hear about Jesus and understand the value that he brings to our life, when you understand what his birth means, you can never be the same person again. Christmas then is not about gifts. Christmas is about Jesus. Time is closing. We'll not keep you much longer. I want one quick observation. It says in verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled. That's after the angels, the shepherds went down and they met Mary and they told of the story. They said, and all those who heard it marvel at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, the word used here, of course, I'm reading from the New King James. It says, marveled. In the NIV, the New Living Bible, the word used is amazed. They were amazed. But I like the English Standard Version a little better when it comes to this. It says, and they wondered. All bringing the same message. But I like the word wondered, if only because verse 19 says, while they marveled or were amazed or they wondered, verse 19 tells us, but Mary kept all these things and pondered. Somehow to me, wondered goes better with pondered. While they were wondering, Mary was pondering. Why? Why? You see, Mary had a strange story to tell. Brothers and sisters and friends, even today, there are many people who don't believe in the virgin birth. Mary could not easily divulge this bit of information that was so outlandish to people. Well, guess what? I am pregnant, but I never had any physical contact with my husband. My child is of the Lord. Can you imagine how they would respond? It was not easy for Mary. And I don't think she told many people at all. So what happened was, here was an independent group of people who had no connection to Mary. Yet they came to her and they brought a bit of news that was exactly consistent with her experience. Mary knew exactly what they were talking about because she experienced it. God had told her it originally because she was visited by an angel. Joseph, her husband, was visited by God in a dream. So Mary knew what they were talking about. So while they were wondering, they were amazed. Mary was meditating. She was pondering. You see, based on what you know, it dictates your reaction. It was not news to Mary. Mary knew about it. She lived it. It was news to them. So they were amazed. Because I can't put this all together. Not Mary. Mary knew about it. She pondered. They wondered. Mary pondered. I don't know how you're reacting to it. You've heard the story of Christmas so many times. I don't know what will hearing about the story of Jesus one more time do to your life. My hope is that God will speak to you on a level that he has never spoken to you before. I'm hoping that this Christmas of 2019, somehow you will feel like my friend who got saved at the age of 18 or 19, I can't remember. It wasn't the first time he had heard the Christmas story. But this particular day, and strange enough, it was at this place. See, it's not about the place. It's not about the preacher. It's about the message. He went to this place on one night, place we call Recreation Hall. What went on in that place? Dancing. And so this group wanted to keep some services. They had no place. And the people who were responsible for the Recreation Hall, they rented it to the church. While the night before Saturday night, there was a big dancing and party going on. The next day, it was the message of God that was preached right there in that building. And he came to know the Lord on that Christmas season, even though he had heard the story of the birth of Jesus many times before in his life. It's not the place. It's not the preacher. It's the message. It's the message. I know sometimes, I've mentioned this before, we are carried away with all the big names of preaching. And we listen to them more attentively as though they have something different to tell us. No. If it's the word of God, take it as the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. And I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to somebody's heart this morning. I believe that, like my friend, God is using this year to speak to you on a level that he has never spoken to you before. God is telling you that it's time for you to change your life. God is telling you that you've been pushing him off for too long, and he wants this relationship with him to develop. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk away as though God never spoke to you? Or are you going to, like the shepherds, make haste to find Jesus? I'm going to close. I'm reminded that I didn't even know this, but I learned recently that many families, before they open the gifts, they read Luke chapter 2. Didn't even realize this. But a hymn came to mind, and I just want to bring it to your attention. Some fitting words here. A hymn that we don't sing too often these days. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. The lowly Jesus. That in itself speaks of Jesus and the kind of person he is. He was not a big shot. He was not a fancy man. He was just the lowly Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. The second verse of that song says, no friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. He is holy. There is no one. I beg your pardon. Who is high as him. Yet he can stoop down to meet us as low as we are. This Jesus. What is the last verse I want to bring to your attention? Hear what it says. Was there a gift like the Savior given? It's right there. No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. If we come calling to Jesus Christ, Lord, forgive me of my sins. From this day on, I want to walk with you. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. Lord, I give my life to you. God will never, ever turn his back away from you. God knows your heart, and if your repentance is true, God will invite you to be part of his family. Was there a gift like the Savior given? Jesus Christ was wrapped in swaddling cloths. He was wrapped. I guess that's the reason why they like to read that passage before they open gifts. People who do that is. And here was God, as they see it, wrapping up a gift for us. And if you see Jesus as a gift, can you even compare any other gift to that of Jesus Christ? Can you? Was there a gift like the Savior given? Was there a gift like Jesus given? No, not one. No, not one. God, this morning, this afternoon, once again is given the gift of Jesus Christ to anyone who will outstretch his arm to receive it, his or her arm. Someone reminded me again this week during some conversation, you know what? He said, it is bad manners to refuse a gift. That is so true. He said, it is just bad manners to refuse a gift. Someone kind-heartedly, lovingly giving you a gift and you turn away from it. Or sometimes you take it just because you say, I don't want him or her to feel bad. Well, God is giving his gift of Jesus Christ to all of us, and in particular, someone who doesn't know him as their Lord and Savior today. Is there someone who wants to, on this eve of Christmas Day, surrender their heart to Jesus Christ? As we bow our heads and close our eyes, if that person is you, please don't be shy. Raise your hand, and I'll pray. I can't save you. I am not the Savior, but Christ is. I'm going to pray with you and show you from God's word, and there are many others who will be willing to do so with you also, how from this day forward, you can have the confidence and know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the victory that comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Oh God, we thank you for having sent him. He came, but he came to die. He did not come to die for himself. You, O Father, permitting the just to die for the unjust, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Today, O Father, you have reminded us of your love. And so to demonstrate your love, Jesus Christ came. Even while we were yet sinners, to die for us. If there is someone in our midst today, Father, who is desirous of having Jesus Christ come into their heart, give that person the boldness to raise their hand, to stand up, to come forward, to let us know, I need Jesus. For I know that God has been speaking to me for a long time, but today I will resist no more. Today I will accept him as my Lord. I will accept him as my Savior. Dear Father, answer this prayer. And the glory be to Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. You've heard God's word and his message.